Welcome to 3 Point Stance,
your weekly fantasy football podcast.
From the website of 1320wils.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is our stat man, Honest Rob.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, this week on the 3 Point Stance, we're going to start out with our headline story. It's Josh McDaniels being fired as the head coach in Denver.
After that, we're going to move on to top performers of the week.
After that, we're going to move into our injuries, let you know who you should be getting out of your lineup for next week.
And then we're going to go to pickups, who you should be getting into your lineup, maybe off the waiver wire this week. So let's start out with our headline story, Josh McDaniels fired from Denver. What does this mean for the players there, Jason?
Well, Brad, I think this means a shift in the Denver offense. Josh McDaniels obviously out being replaced by the running back coach, Eric Studeville, I believe is how you pronounce his name. With a running back coach coming in over a guy who had an offensive coordinator background of airing it out a lot.
Right.
I think you're going to see a bit of a shift going from, you know, the focus being on Kyle Orton and Brandon Lloyd and that passing game there to more of a run-oriented approach with, you know, Eric Studeville, because it's, you know, those are the people he works with on a daily basis, the running backs. So when he gets in a clutch situation where he needs, you know, a couple yards, who's he going to turn to?
Right, but at the same time, he's seen the offense in play all season, you know, so he knows what they have there. And
he also saw Josh McDaniels get fired running that offense the way it's been going.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, can you blame everything that Denver's gone through on their offense, though? I mean, I would say it was more their defense than anything.
No, I think it is the defense. I mean, this was a firing that was actually really surprising to me at this point in the year. I mean, you know, the one in Dallas and in Minnesota, you know, you kind of saw those coming.
Right.
This one sort of caught me off guard. I think the offense does have a lot of good pieces.
Yeah, and especially, you know, that they came out a couple of weeks ago when a lot of coaches were getting fired and saying that they were going to stand by Josh McDaniels, and then, you know, it's kind of like they have this loss, and then, okay, he's gone. But really, I mean, you think that they would at least wait till the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, from a management point of view, I guess I would, but, I mean, obviously, I guess maybe they wanted to get him out right now and kind of maybe see what was out there before the season actually ended. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
the timing of it just really, really surprised me anyway. I mean, I think their offense is doing well. And I think with Studeville coming in, I don't think he's going to change the pieces of the offense. I think just what the focus is on, really. Like, obviously, now it's a pass first team. I think it'll shift to being a run first team. I think Knowshon Moreno takes a decent boost because of this.
So then you think that Kyle Orton and all the wide receivers take a hit?
A little bit of one. I mean, I don't think they're going to be as elite as they were. I mean, you obviously have Kyle Orton and Brandon Lloyd, who are both top five at their position, I think.
Probably somewhere around.
So, I think they take a small hit, maybe top 10 at their own position, but, you know, just a little lower.
So, in a very real situation, you could have got Kyle Orton off the waiver wire this year.
Yeah.
Pretty early on, he was doing pretty good. I know I got him off the waiver wire. So, if you were counting on him to take you through the playoffs and you have another option, say maybe like a Matt Ryan or something like that, who are you starting? Are you saying that you think Kyle Orton is taking a hit to the point where you don't want to start him coming up, or
no? I'm not saying that. I like I said, a small hit. I still think he's going to be top 10 the rest of the season, just not quite where he was at before. Actually, I have a question I want to pose to you.
Okay.
About this whole coaching change here. We've seen this move twice already with, you know, Dallas going from Wade Phillips to Jason Garrett. That's a former defensive coordinator to an offensive minded coach.
Right.
And it worked.
Right.
And we saw it in Minnesota, where we have Brad Childress, who was a former offensive coordinator, going to Leslie Frazier, who was their defensive coordinator. Now in Denver, we've got Josh McDaniels, who was a former offensive coordinator, going to his running back coach. You're going offense to offense.
Offense, right.
The teams that have made this move before, Minnesota and Dallas, have been 5-1 since their coaching changes. So how do you see that working out in Denver with it not being the exact same type of move?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to work out as well as it did in Dallas and in Minnesota. I think, and this is just my personal point of view from looking at it, those were locker rooms that need to be energized. You know, they were down on themselves. They were down on you know, themselves as a team. And I feel like I don't get that same type of vibe from the Denver Broncos, because they do have playmakers. They have won some games. They know they got a good offense. They can, you know, basically shoot out with any team. So I don't see it being – I don't think it's going to be as effective. And I think it's just kind of, you know – they see the other teams do it, so they want to try to get that started, salvage the end of their season. And I don't think that what you see with Jason Garrett and what you see in Minnesota, I don't think those are typical results, you know what I'm saying? Not to mention, Jason Garrett knew he had that job, and regardless of what people are saying now, that he's, you know, coaching for his job, the dude's had the job for years now.
He's been sort of the coach in waiting around Dallas.
You know, so I don't think that it's the same type of thing. I think that those locker rooms need to get energized, and that was their way of doing it, was taking the coaches out, putting someone new in, and I don't think it's going to have the same type of effect in Denver.
Yeah, I didn't see Denver as being in that dire need of a new coach.
Yeah.
To the point where you have to fire a coach mid-season. I mean, I think they could have easily waited till the end of the season.
Would have fired a defensive coordinator. Yeah. That's what I would have done.
I think they're out of the playoff hunt. I mean, they're sitting at 3-9 right now. I mean, they're not going for a playoff spot, so I don't know why you don't just wait till the end of the season on this move. But
I don't know.
Again, I think it shifts the offense a little bit, but I mean, you know, not to the point where it's really going to affect who you're starting on a week-to-week basis.
So, I mean, it's something that could happen. I mean, there's certain players that could take a big boost from this, and there's certain players that could take a huge hit from this. In one of my leagues, like I said, I picked up Orton off the waiver wire, so I have Tom Brady and Kyle Orton. And I've kind of been flip-flopping as far as their matchups go on, you know, who I've been starting and sitting. But I think this week, matchups aside, I'm going to start Tom Brady just so I can see how Kyle Orton looks with the new offense involved.
That and Tom Brady has looked amazing the past couple of weeks.
But, I mean, you know, and even if you have no Sean Moreno, I mean, it might be worth, if you have, you know, maybe someone like Peyton Hillis or something that you got off the waiver wire, you know, there might be some better options if you can, to see how they perform. But then again, it's like you're in the playoffs, so do you want to take that gamble? I think that's the thing that most fantasy football owners are having out there. They want to win. They need to win this week. Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect my players that have got me here?
Yeah.
You know? So,
and obviously this doesn't have a whole lot of impact for players that are, or for teams that are probably in the playoffs right now, but I think the player that does take the biggest hit is Tim Tebow. Because, I mean, that's a guy that Josh McDaniels traded up to get in the draft. Yeah. You know, I mean, he wanted him there. And there was talk that he might go to Tebow at the end of the season here, since they're out of the playoff hunt. I think Tebow's probably a marked man in Denver at this point.
They love them some Tebow in Denver, though. I think that there would be a riot in Denver if they got rid of Tim Tebow. Maybe that's just me.
I don't know.
All right, let's get into a new segment that we're doing here on the show. Top performers of the week. And how we're going to do this is we're going to go through every position on your fantasy team and let you know who the top performer was for that position for the week. Then what we're going to do is we're going to have a little special from Honest Rob at the end. We're going to break down the stats, let you guys know what a perfect week looks like. So let's start out. Who was our top quarterback for the week, Honest Rob?
Top quarterback for the week was Tom Brady, scoring 29 points. So going on what Jason was saying just a few minutes ago, he's looked stellar.
Been lighting up the scoreboard, Tom Brady has.
So what do you see going forward for Tom Brady? Same thing.
Yeah, sky's the limit for this guy. I mean, he had a little bit of a dip there in the middle of the season after Randy Moss left, but I think he's really figured out what the offense is there now. And I think, you know, you're seeing 2007 Tom Brady right now.
And even with the Jets defense, I mean, he shredded them.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
even
close. I mean, he just made them look like a kiddie team.
And that's one of the better pass defenses in the league. They were at full strength with Darrell Revis and Cromartie out there. I mean, he still just torched them.
All right, Honest Rob, who we have going forward for running backs?
Top running back of the week was Adrian Peterson. In a way, no surprise there.
Yeah. Did have that ankle issue a little bit. So, right. I mean, it was sort of a question whether he was going to start or not. But when AP's in, he's one of the best in the league week.
It's AP.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hard to put him on the bench.
Yeah.
All right, let's go wide receivers next.
Wide receiver, your top performance was Reggie Wayne with 26 points.
Which was a little surprising with Greg Jennings having the week that he had. I was a little surprised that Reggie Wayne edged him out. But he did have 200 yards.
Well, yeah, with Dwayne Bowe not doing anything either, made it a lot easier. We'll get to that later in the show.
Yeah. That's what they call a teaser, I believe.
I'm teasing it. Let's go tight ends after that.
Your top tight end, and I know we've talked about him a few times on the show already, is Vernon Davis.
Definitely coming back to fantasy relevance now. Had a couple down weeks the past couple weeks, but huge game, monster game.
Yeah, definitely.
This last week. All right, let's go kickers next.
Your kicker, Josh Brown. He actually had 16 points, which is a
really high score for a kicker.
Yeah, that's insanely high for a kicker. That's better than some of my running backs and wide receivers did.
That's insane, probably most of my team last week, actually. It's better than
I think. I'm gonna go and get him off the waiver wire. Can we put him up in pickups?
We can do that. Yeah, we'll have a kicker pickup this week.
And obviously, last one we're gonna go is defense. Who's the top defense?
Your
the
top
week?
Defense this week was your New York Football Giants, which put up 20 points this week.
That's insane for a defense as well. That's nuts.
Which they've been good all season.
Yeah, I don't even think they had any defensive touchdowns, did they?
No, they didn't have any touchdowns, Jason. They did, however, have 2 interceptions, 4 sacks, and they only allowed 7 points.
Wow.
So that's what a 20-point week looks like.
I guess,
like.
That's
yeah.
a good week. I like that week. Yeah. All right, Rob, you want to give us our top fantasy team for the week.
Okay, quick rundown, and this is a very possible team, so everybody listen up. Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson at running back 1, Marshawn Lynch at running back 2, flex LeSean Shady McCoy, wide receiver 1 Reggie Wayne, wide receiver 2 Greg Jennings, tight end Vernon Davis, defense New York Giants, and kicker Josh Brown for a total of 212 standard scoring fantasy points.
Wow. So if you got less than 212, you suck.
Basically, well, you can do better.
Sometimes it's you got to benchmark yourself against that. I mean, obviously 212 is an astronomical number.
Yeah.
But you know, start to think. Did I get 50 and I'm only at about 25% of that, or did I get 130 and I'm more than half of the absolute maximum value?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the players that it's good to look back and see the you know players that you know we only get so many you know football games around here on TV that can watch.
Yeah.
And if you don't go back and go through the stats, you wouldn't have had no idea that Marshawn Lynch had 3 touchdowns. You know? So it's like,
or that Josh Brown had 16.
Yes, and who I'm gonna go pick up after the show's done. But so yeah, that's a new segment we're gonna start doing every week. Let you guys know who's the top performing in those positions, especially if you got them on your team. Those are people that you want to keep in. Maybe not Marshawn Lynch. That's up for debate.
You can start noticing who are the players that we mention every week in that section. You
consistently
know?
Just doing good. All right, Jason, let's move on. Injuries. We got a couple to get to this week.
Definitely. First up, we're going to talk about quarterback injuries. There's really only one. It's the big one, of course, with Brett Favre hurting his shoulder and going out of that game. I still think he's going to start. It's
probably
looking.
Will.
Yeah. I think they probably should start Tavarius Jackson.
I've been saying they should start Jackson for a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they basically what they said, Leslie Frazier came out, press conference right after the game, and said that if Brett Favre is healthy, he's going to be our quarterback. That's what the owners want. That's what the coach wants. So.
I just don't see that logic. I really don't, you know, with the... I don't know, with Jackson having the game that he had getting the production that he got out of Sidney Rice. I mean...
And don't get me wrong. Jackson did not have a perfect game.
No.
But he was good. You know, I wouldn't have mind having him on my team with the type of week that he had.
And most importantly, they won.
Exactly. And that's the big thing, you know. So I don't know, though. Like I said, I think it's pretty obvious that Brett Favre is going to want to come back, even if he shouldn't.
Yeah, to continue his ridiculous streak.
Yeah, he has a history of doing that. Yeah. So I wouldn't put too much stock.
I think it's going to hurt the Minnesota Vikings when he does come back, but I think he will.
Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't say run out and pick up Tavarius Jackson.
No.
I don't think, unless you hear something concrete towards the end of the week, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Moving on to some running back injuries. We have 2 this week. Darren Sproles went out with a concussion. He's questionable for a return this week.
That hit was not pretty.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you do with a guy who's 5'6 running out there?
It really brought up a good point. You know, the commentators were talking about that. I mean, with the helmet-to-helmet contact, how low can you get as a defensive lineman when you're trying to hit someone as small as Sproles? So I think that's something that the commission might have to look at the end of the NFL season and see if they can tweak that. Obviously, you know, player well-being is the number one concern, but it raises some good questions.
Yeah. And then the only other running back injury we had this week was Mike Goodson. Only other notable running back injury was to Mike Goodson. He had that shoulder injury and went out after a pretty good week last week and then only got like 3 carries this week. So
I guess they're saying it looks like he might be able to make it back. Jonathan Stewart's been looking pretty good.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Jonathan Stewart had a great game.
Yeah,
so.
I think Jonathan Stewart would probably want to be your number one guy if you have to start someone from that Panthers backfield.
Yeah, I think if you were relying on Mike Goodson, I think it's probably time to jump ship on that
because
I don't think he's going to get many carries going forward with the injury and with Jonathan Stewart coming back and doing well.
Definitely agree with that.
All right, moving on to wide receiver injuries. Got a few here, actually. First up, obviously the big one, Dez Bryant going on IR with his right fibula injury there.
Right fibula. Sounds like a cool injury.
So,
my guess is that it's not.
What do you see in Dallas with Dez Bryant now being out?
You know, everyone's obviously going to want to say Miles Austin has a big uptick with this. I own Miles Austin, and I've been benching him the past couple of weeks. It's just so hit or miss with him. Mm-hmm. With Dez Bryant being out, I think defenses are going to key on him more because they know that he's the guy. Mm-hmm. Roy Williams might get a bit of a boost. Witten might get a bit of a boost. But I'm not going to start Miles Austin without seeing something, you know, because it's still Kitna. Granted, it's a new Cowboys team, but I just don't see it, you know. It's been a long time since he has a touchdown if you take away the big 60-yard end-around. I mean, it's not like they run with Miles Austin all that often anyway. It was a trick play. It worked. You can't count on trick plays to get you through the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I think the guy who takes the biggest uptick in value is Roy Williams because Miles Austin has been in there with Dez Bryant. And, you know, Roy Williams was the guy who was on the sideline for those two wide receiver sets. So I think he gets a lot more, plays now, and I think that'll end up bumping his value quite a bit. Our next wide receiver injury was to Mike Williams in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Looked like he came back to the game, actually played a bit, and then had to leave, I think, in the first or second quarter with an ankle injury. Mm-hmm. And now he's questionable. He wants to play. Looks like he's probably out at least a week, though. Yeah. So what do you see in Seattle there? Actually, I'm sorry. The other thing with the Seattle wide receivers there is Ben Obomanu also got injured this week. So he went out with a laceration, I guess, on his hand, which is odd.
Yeah.
But he's looking like he's going to be out a week or two also. So you've got your two top wide receivers there out now.
I'm going to stay away from that if I can. The only person that might take, basically an uptick from that might be Marshawn Lynch. He had three touchdowns. He's kind of going to be the only game in town as far as their offense goes. But I don't know. If you're in the playoffs right now, are you really feeling good about starting Marshawn Lynch? flex spot at best. I wouldn't say he would be your number two running back or anything like that.
Yeah. I think the whole Seattle offense is something I'm probably going to stay away from at this point. But, there are a couple wide receivers there who are going to take an uptick in value. I think probably Deion Butler and Golden Tate both, are going to be starting now anyway, so.
Okay.
Going to get some looks anyway. The last wide receiver injury we have is to Brian Hartline in Miami there. Actually had a finger injury, and he's looking questionable. Might not return. So with him out and with Marshall still,
being
Brandon Marshall, do you see any hope for the Miami passing game at all?
No. I never really did. The only thing I think that might get benefit from this is the Miami run game.
And I
don't know if you trust that. I try to stay away from that if I can, just because from any given week you don't know who's going to have the big week. It's kind of the same thing I kind of feel with Miami that I do with Seattle. You're going to try to stay away from it if you can.
Especially this week with them playing the Jets. I think you lay off your Miami players this week and try to let some of them come back a little more healthy maybe.
Yeah.
Moving on to our tight end injuries. Again, the tight end position just seems to get destroyed this year. We've got three tight end injuries this week. Tony Gonzalez went out with an ankle injury. That's probably the biggest name there, but he is looking probable to play, he should come back. But do you think that affects his value at all in Atlanta there?
No, I think he's pretty comfortable in the role that he has there, and I think if he comes back, I think he'll kind of resume that role. So I don't think there's going to be a much change in his value with the injury.
And then the other two tight end injuries we have, we're actually in the same game. You had Todd Heap with his hamstring injury go out, and then Heath Miller with his concussion go out. Both of them are pretty questionable to return. I don't really hold out much hope for either of them playing this week.
I heard that Heath Miller is not coming back this week. Todd Heap, hard to say, kind of been a little injury prone the last couple years. And we talked about him last week. He has been doing good as of late, but you got playoffs starting now. You might want to go and grab someone else who we'll talk about some tight ends and the pickups.
Yeah, actually, we'll move on now to pickups of the week here in the 3-point stance. Starting out, our first pickup obviously is going to be James Stark, the running back out of Green Bay there. Came off the pup list and ended up getting 18 carries, I think. Rob, do you have exact stats on James Stark?
Yeah, you're right, Jason. 18 carries for 73 yards. No touchdowns, but hey, 18 is a good number in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think it's more carries than any running back has gotten to this point of the year in Green Bay. So, going forward, I think if he's going to get a majority of the carries like that, he's going to have some value. It's a pass-first team, but...
Yeah, and you kind of... There's so many... If you're looking for running backs right now, there's so many committees out there. It's going to be hard to find someone that's the only show in town.
Yeah.
Or even one of two, So, if you're struggling in that position, might be someone to look to. If they're going to get the majority of the carries, that's someone that you're going to want on your team.
Another running back pickup you can look to is Chris Ivory. this week. Had a pretty good week last week. Rob, do you have some stats on that for us?
Yep, I've got some stats on Ivory as well. 15 carries for 117 yards and two touchdowns. He did cough the ball up once, though.
Okay, so he did have the one fumble, but other than that,
that's 23 points.
Yeah, that's a really good week for a running back, and I mean, I don't think you can expect that type of production going forward.
But he is available in a lot of leagues, you know, and the thing is the Saints' backfield is destroyed, and I guess Sean Payton came out and said that they're pretty much going to ride the hot hand as an Ivory's doing good. Pierre Thomas might be back this week. He'll play. Reggie Bush will still get handoffs, but it looks like going forward, Sean Payton wants Ivory to be the guy at least this week.
Well, yeah. The quote from Sean Payton actually says that he doesn't want to reduce Chris Ivory's workload at all. So even though those two guys are probably going to be in the mix some, that Ivory's still going to get that same type of workload. So that's good news for people that do grab him off the waiver wire.
Definitely. And then check, see if he's in your league. He's definitely worth owning.
Definitely. Moving on, we're going to talk about a tight end pickup to help if you had one of those three guys that we mentioned, or one of the two guys, I guess, that aren't going to play. Benjamin Watson actually had a really good week there. Rob, do you have some stats for Benjamin Watson?
Yeah. Really a red-letter week for Watson. He had 10 receptions, which is huge, 100 yards receiving there, and he did have a touchdown, leading to 16 standard points.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, Ben Watson had a huge week. I think if you're hurting at the tight end position, he's probably a guy who's available in your league.
The Loam loves him some tight end.
Well, he sure does.
And considering that on the year he'd only had 50 receptions for 574 and three touchdowns, that one week alone, this last week alone, has been a huge part of his season.
And there's a good chance that, you know, you could be struggling at the tight end position right now.
Oh, almost guaranteed. Yeah.
So it definitely someone that you want to look for on your waiver wire, see if he's out there, and can definitely be serviceable moving forward compared to some of the other tight ends out there.
Yeah, tight end's getting pretty bare at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Not a good season for that.
Moving on, my top wide receiver pickup this week is going to be Earl Bennett. Actually, had a really good past couple weeks. Rob, do you have stats for him this last week?
Yep, got stats on Bennett as well. 7 receptions, 104 yards, no touchdowns, but that did still lead to 10 standard scoring points.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're getting 10 points out of a guy who I don't even think was starting the season with Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, their offense continues to look up there, so I think he's got a good upside coming up here.
And they're saying that him and Jay Cutler played a year together in college at Vanderbilt.
Yep.
So I guess they have a good rapport with each other. So moving forward could be something that you see becomes an increasing connection between those two.
Definitely.
So, you know, if you're hurting in the wide receiver department or just want to screw over another owner in your playoffs.
Again, you're big on that, aren't you? You're just an evil, evil player.
I am. I'm a very bad
person. It's a playoffs, man.
That's true.
This is cutthroat, Jason. Okay? Now, the fantasy owners, they don't want to hear about Care Bears and security blankets, okay?
But I like unicorns.
Alrighty, moving on.
We're going to finish up pickups here with just some quick hits. Some other players you might not want to grab right now, but start looking at anyway.
Yeah, keep your eye on.
Yeah, just in case, you know, or if you're really hurting at the position. I think for wide receiver, start looking at Anthony Armstrong. I think he's going to start looking up there in Washington.
Okay.
Santana Moss just hasn't been the same.
No.
And, you know, McNabb has to pass to somebody.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, like I mentioned before, Deion Butler and Golden Tate, I think, are both people you can look at there for pickups. For another tight end, anyway, Anthony Fasano is starting to look up in Miami. I mean, he's not going to win too many games for you.
Yeah, but he could get a touchdown. He always kind of has that ability.
Yeah, he's got that going for him, which is nice.
What pushes you over for the week.
And at running back, I'd say take a look at Javaris James, who I think had two touchdowns coming into this week. Again, not a guy who's going to get you a lot of carries, but sort of feast or famine. You know, he can get a couple touchdowns any given week. And then also Rashad Jennings, who's looking pretty good in that backup role to Maurice Jones-Drew there.
If you're an MJD owner, you're not happy about that.
Yeah, definitely not.
Not happy about that.
And then I have one quarterback, and this is very out there. This is somebody you probably do not want right this second, but keep an eye on him anyway. John Skelton for the Arizona Cardinals is apparently looking like he's going to be the starter there.
Okay, can I throw a quarterback on there, though? If we're going to throw him on there, can
go
I just say Drew Stanton? Come on, man. The MSU guy, he had a three-yard. He did the Dougie. He had a three-yard run, did the Dougie. He had a touchdown to Calvin Johnson. No intercept. I thought he did pretty good.
I guess if you want to keep an eye on him, I'm okay with that, but not this week.
Okay.
Not against Green Bay this week.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So that's going to wrap up segment one on the 3-point stance. We want to to hear emails from you guys, so make sure shoot us an email at the3pointstance. That is the number three. Don't spell out the word three at gmail.com. Make sure check us out. Section 2. We're going to do Killing Me Smalls, playoff, boom or bust, and obviously get my line and ride the pine.